Folks, if the subject is Oregon football, NFL, women's hoops, add it all up, we get our next guest. He is the fine sports journalist for the Register Guard, hails from the Tar Heel State, a Pirate and Orangeman, as an alum of Eastern Carolina, Syracuse. On Twitter, follow along, use the handle at Antoine Staley. Antoine, wishing you a spectacular new year. How's life treating you?
Everything's all right. How are you?
All right. No complaints. Nobody listens anyway. consider you covered an NFL franchise, the Dolphins, 7 years, obviously a big fan. The passing of John Madden. You're too young to know him as the Raider coach, but obviously as a journalist and, you know, his legendary broadcast career, iconic game. So what came to your mind when you heard Madden had passed away last week?
Well, I mean, I come from an interesting perspective. Like, I actually grew up a Raider fan, so I actually knew about his coaching about when I was a kid. I mean, I learned about it later on after, you know, I learned about him as obviously as a broadcaster, but yeah, just doing books. So I used to read Super Bowl books. And it would have him on there and talking about Super Bowl XI and when the Raiders ended up breaking through and winning that Super Bowl after having so many heartbreaks in the AFC Championship. So I think of him as Coach Madden first, just simply because I know the impact he had on the Raiders franchise. And then, obviously, the broadcaster, it was nobody like him. Especially as a kid, you would grow up and talk to other kids about the big games that weekend. And just, you know, he would always have the mega matchups, especially in the NFC on CBS or in the Fox. And that would be just a talking point, whether you come back from school over the weekend or going home, you know, for the weekend. People would just talk about his just impact and him and Summerall, which is magic. Those were just the best two commentators, I think, of all time when I think about football. So that's kind of what I think about him as well. And obviously the video games, people talk about that too as well. And I know a lot of people remember him for that as well. But yeah, I just the commentator and then really the Coach Madden with the Raiders and winning that Super Bowl XI. That's kind of my thoughts of just when I think about John Madden. And he will be sorely missed, especially from my perspective, because I adored him just growing up, and nothing like hearing him talk about Brett Favre and a boom or a Tenacity commercials or anything like that.
No, let me tell you something. As somebody who pretty much started following the NFL in about 1969 or so, the Raiders of the 70s, it's not about the best. There's just about there was nothing like that even close. Talking with Antoine Staley, the Register Guard, mentioned the Dolphins, the weirdest season ever. I mean, you know, 7-game winning streak, 7-game losing streak the same year. And I guess the hot take patrol is all over the place on Tua Tagovailoa. Certainly they haven't provided him the kind of cast we've seen with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Herbert in L.A. So what's your read? Any reason to think he shouldn't be or won't be back for a third year next season?
I think it's tough, but they've tried to surround him with talent. It's not that they haven't done so. It's just they got Waddle. Obviously, that was a good pickup. I like Gesicki, who they had many years ago before Tua came. They tried to provide him with a quality, adequate offensive line. That hasn't necessarily worked. I love the defense that the Dolphins have.
Yeah.
The fact that I think it's a couple of things. So, one, will he be given enough time? Because now, with the Dolphins being eliminated from the playoffs, you got Brian Flores going to his fourth year next year. He's probably going to be on the hot seat, I would imagine, because the Dolphins have gotten close 2 years in a row without making the playoffs. So I think his job is going to be in question. The general manager, Chris Greer's job, probably going to be in question. And Tua, too, because, like, look, you saw Cincinnati in 2 years, Burrow and Jamar Chase and those guys are making the playoffs. Justin Herbert has a chance in a winner-take-all game this Sunday against the Raiders to make the playoffs. So why not the Dolphins? Yeah, I know a lot of people talk about rebuilding and how long it takes, but, you know, you got an 81-year-old owner from Steven Ross who, you know, grew up a Jets fan and he's getting tired of, especially all the money he put into the Miami Dolphins. He's tired of losing and being mediocre. So at some point, he wants to see his team hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And you know, at some point, you know, whether it be, you know, Tua or trying to get a Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, he wants to have a quarterback that's going to be able to get him there. And I'm not sure Tua is going to be the guy. Whether or not they keep him one more year remains to be seen. But I definitely can see them making some moves there just to try to reach the playoffs next year, because everybody else's jobs are going to be on the line, including Tua's.
I'll tell you one thing. As an older New Yorker, we're all getting older and tired of the Jets not winning. But that's a story for another day. You retweeted a quote from Nick Saban about possibly expanding the college football playoff. He's not a fan. I'm not a fan. I think, though, it's inevitable, at least when this first contract runs out, probably go to 8. So if we deemed Antoine Staley college football overlord, how would you like to see the national championship determined?
You know what? We're in an interesting predicament. Normally, I wouldn't want to expand it either, but I think we're running into an issue with the bowl games where nobody cares anymore. They're really glorified exhibition games. So, do you continue with this charade of how these bowl games matter outside the playoff, or do you just scrap the whole system and revolve a playoff around it? I think that's what I would do. So I know people are gonna, you know, shut their nose up at 8 game playoff teams, but you know, I'm gonna take it a step further and I'm just gonna go to 32, and then I'm just gonna completely scrap the bowl system the way it is. Look, I get some of these teams and, you know, smaller schools and may not get an opportunity, but you know, I think if you win your conference no matter what, you know, conference you're in, you get a seat at the table in the playoff, and then you got so many at-large bids, and obviously the bulk of them will come from Power 5 conferences, but, you know, I think if you're able to get some of those smaller schools in by winning your conference, then maybe you'll have an opportunity against some of the big giants. But, yeah, I just think the way the bowl system is physically constructed, with the players opting out and not wanting to play, and then obviously Kirk Herbstreit came over the fire talking about players don't really care anymore because they're 43 bowl games now. They're not 20 when he played, him and Desmond Howard. So excuse me for not really caring about the Gasparilla Bowl or the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Nobody cares about that. Like, we care about the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, and then beyond that, you know, some of the other second-tier bowls. But, yeah, that's what I would do. I would just completely scrap what we're doing right now, because they're not bringing in money anyway, and it's just a waste of time. And with COVID, now you got these teams that are opting out. So I think the best thing to do is just revolve a playoff around the bowl system completely.
So you're saying we college football fans aren't sitting around waiting for the coaches to get doused by Cheez-Its and mayonnaise?
I mean, that was probably the most entertaining it was, just watching to see who got doused with that, with the mayonnaise. Yeah, I mean, Sean Beamer. I mean, yeah, that was the best thing for me. But outside of that, no, I'm not. I don't care. Shane Beamer, excuse me. I don't care about like a game necessarily. I care about just the bigger market bowl games. Yeah, the seeing the Dallas thing with the cheeses and the mayonnaise, that was the best part outside of the game. Nobody's gonna remember that game. Everybody's gonna remember that moment though, and when the commentators, Mike Golic Jr. was eating Oreos with mayonnaise, people will remember that too. But outside of that, I'm not going to remember South Carolina versus North Carolina in the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl.
Not at all. All right, continue with Antoine Staley, registered guard, Duck football. Obviously, the first Utah game was a disaster. The way the first half ended, awful clock management. Then, now another shot, rematch time. So we all have our gut. So leading up to the Pac-12 title game, what were you thinking about Oregon's chances? And I guess, what was your level of surprise? We kind of saw a repeat, and they got their butts whipped again.
Well, I wrote about it, and I felt predicted. I was like, oh, okay, this game would be much different, you know, second time. It's hard to beat a team two times. It wasn't a short amount of time. It was two times within the last 3 weeks, and I was thinking, okay, Oregon, they're talking about this revenge, so like I'm buying in. Even if they don't win, it would be a lot closer than what it was last time, but it wasn't. It was pretty much the same thing, and Utah hit them in the mouth, and unlike any other team had done earlier this year, and they just couldn't recover it, and they stumbled. So I was really surprised. And then after that, pretty much, and I wrote about it in the column too, the dominoes just completely fell after that, with Cristobal leaving and other players and coaches, pretty much it's out of every single coach in Oregon just about has followed Cristobal, especially now as officially, you know, they're going to be added on to his staff in Miami. But yeah, I was really surprised the way that they just got hit in the mouth and just did not get up from the mat whatsoever, which, you know, they did. They actually had some heart in the Alamo Bowl game. They got hit in the mouth, but they ended up kept fighting and fighting against a quality Oklahoma team. But, you know, they still came out on the losing end. But at least you like to see some kind of fight, unlike you kind of did in the Pac-12 championship and the first Utah game.
A couple final thoughts for Antoine. Then, of course, we learned, like you said, Coach Cristobal is going back to Miami. The speculation began. Justin Wilcox, Chip Kelly, and then it's Dan Lanning, the Georgia defensive coordinator. You were at the intro press conference, young, dynamic guy. And I guess from the you get one chance to make a first impression file, what kind of stuck out to you about Lanning that day?
Yeah, energetic. I think a lot of players also, just talking with them, they talked about how energetic he was, and I could definitely see why he was a candidate. I thought when the job was open, he'd be one of the five candidates, and he definitely was. I didn't know I thought Oregon would go with somebody that had head coaching experience previously, but yeah, they like the guy. They think he can maybe turn around the defense that definitely had some questions this year, despite having the talent that they had, and Kayvon Thibodeaux, who's going to be a first-round pick, Mikael Wright, who could be a first-round pick, and then Verone McKinley, who's probably going to be a second or third-round pick. But, yeah, I like him. I think he's somebody that could bring a breath of fresh air and to Oregon, definitely can recruit nationally, and now we have to do it. And he surrounded himself with some pretty decent coaches, assistant-wise, so now I think we'll just have to see how it all plays out. But, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that game against Georgia to open up the season, which will be interesting for a lot of different levels.
Yeah, hopefully all will be well by then. You'll be able to travel to Atlanta. Let's get on to the women's program. Man, 15 days in between games. And Antoine, I get it was Carroll College, kind of a contrast when you think they play Stanford next. But just to get back out there, to get Tahina Pau-Pau return, I know it sounds kind of simplistic, but considering all the injuries, just how important was it to just get everyone out there in a real game for the first time?
Well, you didn't want to have your first game in 3 weeks be against number two Stanford, so and completely just get rolled off the floor. Which, yeah, I get that. I asked Kelly Grace about that, and yeah, how it came all together, and it was pretty quick. But yeah, they hadn't played in so long. Remember the game against Northwestern? They got canceled too, as well. So you add that in with Colorado and also Utah. They need to do something because yeah, you don't want to go necessarily go on the road and just get completely embarrassed. And yeah, I mean those players. It didn't look sharp yesterday at all against Carroll College. I mean, they ended up winning pretty handedly and did exactly what they were supposed to do. But now the competition gets real because you're in impact to a play, and now you're starting out instead of Utah, who's a decent team, and also Colorado, who's the best team, at least record-wise, in Pac-12. You're also starting off, and you would have been at home, and now you're on the road at Stanford, which is a tall task considering the Cardinal have definitely one of the better programs in the country. So it was good to get that game out the way, get some kinks in, and now they can try to build from it. But it's going to be a tough task still, no matter what, going on the road to playing one of the best teams in the country, especially considering you have not really had a lot of body of work recently on the court.
Folks, he's Antoine Staley, done a terrific job enhancing the coverage we get for football and Kelly Graves' program. Great knowledge, humor. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Antoine Staley. Antoine, always appreciate the time. Wishing you and yours a healthy, terrific 2022. And, of course, look forward to chatting again not too far down the road.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.